For all the parents out there, picture that it's bedtime. You and the kids have been busy all day. You know they're tired, but for some reason, they just won't go to sleep. And for this reason, I created the podcast Bedtime History. Bedtime History is a series of relaxing history stories that end with an inspirational message. With over 2,000 positive parent reviews, Bedtime History is one of the top education podcasts. Join me and listen to Bedtime History every Monday and Thursday on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A man with a beard, wearing a blue Hawaiian shirt, strides onto a stage. He peers out into the packed concert hall. The audience is full of feathered hair and thick Coke bottle glasses, bowl cuts, and Oshkosh Bagosh overalls. It's definitely 1987. He pauses and takes a seat.
Hello. Hi, boys and girls. Hello, moms and dads.
His eyes land on each and every face in the crowd, like he's trying to make an intimate connection.
Grandmas and grandpas.
He's not in a rush.
Hello to you.
It's almost like he's slowing down time. And once he's sure he's got all eyes on him, he begins.
The more we get together, 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 the more we get together, the happier we'll be. 'Cause your friends are
the more we get together, the happier we'll be. Talk about a hopeful statement.
The happier we'll be. I can hear you singing already. Oh, the more we get together, together, together.
Hearing this song now, with little kids singing in the background, it's almost too much. Coming off nearly 2 years of isolation, who doesn't want to get together? It's so obvious that this is what we're missing. Togetherness.
I'm going to sing it again, and I'll see if I can get every single person in the whole place to sing, and maybe even the chairs will sing with us. The more we get together.
This guy is Rafi Kavukian, but you might know him as just Rafi. He's one of the most famous children's musicians of all time. He's like the Beatles of kids' music. Rafi's released 24 albums, albums that went gold and platinum. He played for presidents, the Dalai Lama, and Nelson Mandela.
Banana phone.
He had a sold-out show on Broadway, was nominated 3 times for a Grammy, The Simpsons even based a character after him. Something about this guy and his music is captivating.
Down by the bay, where the watermelons grow, back to my home, I dare not go. For if I do, my mother will say, did you ever see a goose kissing a moose down by the bay, down by the bay?
Raffi embedded himself in the childhood memories of his fans, and he showed adults that kids should be taken seriously, that their voices are just as important. Thousands of preschool teachers played Raffi's cassettes on repeat for sing-along time. His songs about the joys and wonders of growing up are universal and infectious. That's because Raffi, with his playfulness and patience, was making connections with his audience. Maybe he even connected with you. But here's the thing. There's a lot more in that music than you think. For decades, Raffi's been telling us to wake up to the needs of our children, to the kid inside of us, and to the destruction of our planet. From the beginning, he saw our potential. He believed in our capacity to grow. Now, you wouldn't necessarily know that by listening to Opals and Bononos or Shake Your Sillies Out. You'd need to talk with his old friends and collaborators, the people who built movements around him, and the man himself. I'm Chris Garcia, and this is Finding Raffi, a 10-part series from iHeartRadio and Fatherly in partnership with Rococo Punch, about the life, philosophy, and the work of Raffi, the man behind the music. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm used to late nights and dark, crowded bars with an overserved audience. But now, this is how I spend my evenings.
Baby beluga in the deep blue sea, swim so wild and you swim so free.
During the pandemic, my wife Val and I decided to make things even harder. We decided to have a kid, or at least start trying. And before we knew it, Val was standing in the bathroom holding a little stick with two pink lines on it, and along came Sunny.
You did such a nice job.
Yeah, you're my best girl. Have sweet dreams, okay?
Night, night, sweetie.
There was one aspect of being a dad where I felt confident. Music. I'm a music snob. I love music. My vinyl collection is slowly taking over the house. It's important to me that Sunny knows good music. So I began with my personal favorites. Creed, Limp Bizkit, more Creed. Just kidding. Stuff like Brian Eno and jazz. I tried music made for kids. A friend made me a mixtape. Casper Baby Pants? Blippi? Elmo Sings Hamilton? What? No, I couldn't do that to her or me. And just when I was feeling really desperate, Val introduced me and Sunny to Raffi.
Peanut butter sandwich made with jam. One for me and one for David M. Ram.
Peanut butter sandwich made with jam. Stick, 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 stick.
I grew up listening to Raffi for a very long time. I mean, I didn't remember how many songs that I knew until I started listening to them with her. And I was like, oh, I remember this one. Oh, yeah, this one. Oh, the corner grocery store. Oh, you know, Beets and Barley and all that stuff. And there was one day where she was being super fussy and a Raffi song came on the rotation and she immediately shut up and started smiling.
It was like the baby whisperer appeared out of the speaker and magically calmed Sunny down. There was something to this. I had no idea what. Is it Raffi's voice? The melody? The simplicity? Whatever it was, I watched my daughter and my wife become entranced.
It makes me think of summertime for some reason. I'm not really sure why. Just makes me think of like being young and fun, carefree, listening to, like, sweet songs.
As we talk, I see Val snap back in time to a warm, comforting place when her parents played Raffi cassettes to help her fall asleep.
I wish I still had my cassette of One Light, One Sun. That would be sweet to play off my
old really cassette. Do you think your dad has it?
Honestly, I would not be surprised if he still had that somewhere.
It would be so sweet to play Val's old Raffi cassettes for Sonny.
Is he at home?
So we call up her dad, Jeff.
You know, it's funny because we had several of them, and I said that to Mom the other day. I wonder what happened to those tapes, and the answer is I don't have a clue. But I thought the same thing. I thought it would be come full circle that you could be playing those for Sonny.
You used to play music before I'd go to sleep, right? Was that some of that?
Yeah, we'd play Willoughby Wallaby Woo, an elephant sat on you. Willoughby Wallaby Woo's in, an elephant sat on Susan.
Yeah. Raffy picks the best names for those songs.
Willoughby Wallaby Wanny, an elephant sat on Bonnie. Willoughby Wallaby Wennis, an elephant sat on Dennis.
I'm listening in awe. Jeff hasn't heard those songs in 30 years, but just the mention of Raffi's name makes him break out into song. Jeff's a 6'5" professor from the Midwest. His idea of a fun Friday night is watching Turner Classic Movies. He thinks Will Ferrell is too goofy. But Willoughby Wallaby Woo? These words come to him in an instant. He doesn't miss a beat. And all this time, Val has carried good feelings about Raffi's music, too. There's something emotional happening here. Something really deep. The idea that Sonny can hear an old song decades from now and tap into a warm childhood memory, that blows me away. And it seems like a cheat code. Something Sonny could rely on if I couldn't be there to console her. Maybe there was something for me in Raffi's music, too.
For all the parents out there, picture that it's bedtime. You and the kids have been busy all day. You know they're tired, but with all that anxious energy, they just won't go to sleep. This was my kids every night. But I did find that stories calmed their mind and gave them something to focus on. So 6 years ago, I created the kids' podcast, Bedtime History, to help solve that problem. Bedtime History is a series of relaxing history stories that end with an inspirational message. We have episodes about Jackie Robinson, Neil Armstrong, Maya Angelou, and Sacagawea. Episodes also include topics like space exploration, engineering, the rise and fall of civilizations, and major events like the Civil Rights Movement and the Transcontinental Railroad. With over 2,000 positive parent reviews, Bedtime History is one of the top education podcasts. This week, join me and listen to Bedtime History every Monday and Thursday on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy, reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are.
Awesome. Well, so nice to see you and talk to you, Rafi. Thank you so much for making the time.
Let me first ask you, what is your daughter's name?
Oh, my daughter's name is Sunny.
Sunny?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We named her after the song by Bobby Hebb. We named her after that song.
Well, let's dedicate this whole podcast series to Sunny and her bright future, because that's what we all want for the children we love.
Not to brag, but that's me talking with Rafi. He lives in Canada, on Salt Spring Island, off the coast of Vancouver. When I Googled it, it looks like an idyllic place where the forest meets the sea, a place where you'd go to find serenity or hide a body. Rafi's 73 now, and looking at his face on my computer as we talk, I realize I could see a bit of me in him. And it's not just because we're both fans of Hawaiian shirts or we both have beards. He kind of looks like me, from the future. And he seems gentle and sensitive. I immediately feel at ease. I wonder what's driven him to make children's music all these years.
Very early on, actually, I sort of steeped myself in an informal education of what is childhood? Who are these impressionable young beings who happen to be fun and spontaneous and at times more than we can handle? You know, who are these beings and what do they need and so on, you know? And I think I gained a sense of my own self as a child. You know, what did I feel when I was younger and so on? And it was not all rosy for me in my childhood. Mocked and humiliated at times, and I was hit, and I couldn't square that with the fact that I knew I was loved. So why didn't I feel respected for who I felt I was?
Respect. This is a word that kept coming up over and over again in my conversations with Rafi. It's a word he studied, dissected, even meditated on.
It's not enough to say we need love. As the Beatles song said, all you need is love, which is true. What kind of love do we need? And the word respectful came up.
This connection between love and respect is something Rafi's devoted his lifetime exploring. Rafi's father, Arto, was an enormous presence in his life. Arto was a well-known portrait photographer, and he was a perfectionist. He had impossibly high standards for his work and his son. Rafi says that his parents saw him as an extension of themselves. They didn't see him as his own person, and that was painful and confusing. It turns out that Rafi and I have a lot more in common than just our looks. Rafi grew up in Egypt, but his family moved to Canada when Rafi was 10 years old. This wasn't the first time the Kavukians fled their home in search of a new one. They'd already survived the Armenian genocide in Turkey. My parents escaped an oppressive regime in Cuba, eventually settling here in Los Angeles in search of a better life. When you grow up like Raffi and I did, with one foot in the new world and one in the old, it can feel lonely.
I must say, I relate to you as a thing that I believe we have in common is that our parents are exiles and immigrants from, you know, a different country. And you were raised in Canada. I was born in the United States. And I was a sensitive child. And although I did feel loved, I was confused a lot by the way with which I was loved, because my parents had a certain expectation of what a young man was supposed to be or what his interests are supposed to be. My father's a tough, masculine machinist, where I use the word journal as a verb. You know, I was very emotional, and I don't think they could understand how a boy born in Los Angeles in freedom could cry if he was moved by a movie or something like that. So a lot of the times I felt misunderstood or like I couldn't even express these emotions.
Chris, did they not ask you what you wanted to be when you grew up?
No, I don't think they really did. I think they were just
what
like...
What a concept, right? May I say about respect, Chris? I think it's the word that is going to be in this Finding Raffi series of podcasts. It's going to be the word. Because if you think about it, every human being wants to feel respected. Without exception. I don't think you could ask that question of anyone. Would you like to be respected? I don't think anyone would say no or maybe. I think people would say, yeah, I'd like to feel respected for who I feel I am.
Respect can mean so many things. For me, it's tied to authority. Kids respect adults. I hadn't thought about it as a two-way street. And trust me, I've thought about my childhood a lot. As a stand-up comedian, my parents are the meat of most of my jokes. As a kid, I knew my parents loved me, but respect me?
My mom's dope. She's adorable. She's tiny. She's 4'8". She's so small, she looks far away. She should have a little sign on her that says, "Cubans in the mirror may be closer than they appear." She's a lovely lady. She's very critical. We're hanging out recently. She's like, "I don't like how you dress. I don't like it. Too many buttons. Why the top button? What are you hiding? You look like a teacher that nobody respects. You look like a magician with no tricks. It's very sad." That's cold-blooded, Mom. She's like, "You need to dress like a man. Like a Cuban man." I'm like, "What's a Cuban man supposed to dress like?" She goes, "Like Pitbull." I love Pitbull, I respect Pitbull, but I'm not gonna dress like a tuxedo mannequin that won the lottery, you know what I mean?
My mom, Anna, is the real comedian in the family. And she doesn't hold back, like a Cuban female Don Rickles, like Doña Rickles.
Oh, oh. That's my mom. My mom is here. Oh, look, she came out of the lift all by herself. Hi, Mama.
Hi, Mama.
¿Cómo estás?
When she comes to visit, she always brings a gift. She thinks she could buy the love and affection of a baby.
Oh, is that white coming for the baby?
Oh, we need that. Thank you. Yeah. She's been eating all our sippy cups. Perfect. Thank you.
Growing up, my parents didn't play kids' music for me. They played music they liked. We're talking Sonny and Cher, the Beatles, the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. In case you're wondering, my mom has no idea who Raffi is. So I play her one of his biggest hits, Banana Phone.
I've got this feeling so appealing for us to get together and sing, sing.
cute.
You like it?
Está bonito. Está cute.
That's it? Nada más?
Yo pensé que me iba a poner Marc Anthony.
She was hoping that I would play this Marc Anthony song that she loves so much.
Ever since my conversation with Rafi, I've been thinking about the idea of respect and how that factored into my upbringing. I mean, even the thought of asking my mom if she respected me feels awkward. But what the heck? I ask anyway.
¿Qué tú crees que significa respetar un niño? ¿Qué significa eso?
Respetar un niño. Oye, esa pregunta. No, yo respeto.
It turns out my mom has this whole philosophy about respecting children. She says to respect a child is to recognize their innocence, to embrace them where they are. I'm realizing that respect has always been at the heart of how she raised me. She's always seen me for me, an individual with my own thoughts and emotions.
Que uno como madre tiene que respetarlo porque ese es tu hijo y él vino al mundo porque tú quisiste, no porque él quiso.
Wow, mom. Wow. My name is Ana Garcia and I'm running for president. ¿Qué respuesta más buena? ¿Tú crees que me respetaste cuando yo fui niño?
Claro, papi, claro.
I'm overwhelmed listening to my mom. She says, of course she respected me because she wanted me. She chose to bring me into this world. I'd always joke that I was an accident because I popped out 12 years after my sister, Laura. She was born in Cuba during a particularly bleak moment in Cuban history. My parents probably didn't want to bring another kid into that chaos. So they had me once they could keep me safe, here in the United States. It was part of their plan. They wanted more for me. This is not at all how my parents grew up. For a while as a kid, my dad was homeless, living on the street. My mom dropped out of school in the sixth grade because her family couldn't afford books. Neither my mom nor my dad knew their fathers. And my mom's mom, my abuela Caruca, was tough. She wasn't the nurturing type. More of a get your shoes on and hustle those cigarettes on the corner so we can buy dinner kind of mom. She was single and funneled all of her energy into surviving. So I don't think my mom had much of a childhood.
Yo cuando dije, como tengo una hija, yo quiero ser diferente. Quiero ser no mamá, sino amiga.
She was saying that her mom was really strict, and she told herself that she wasn't going to be like that with us, which is true.
It's interesting to think about how parenting skills and worldviews and traumas trickle down from that. And it's amazing that she's so, doesn't seem to carry any of it, you know? It just kind of blows me away. I get emotional about it. It's a real special person.
Amen.
My mom's on her own now. My dad died 4 years ago from Alzheimer's. And sitting here, talking to her, knowing all that she and my dad had been through, I'm realizing that they had to invent what it meant to be parents. And what really amazes me about my mom is she always finds humor, especially in the toughest times. Like when we cremated my dad, she asked the funeral director for a senior discount, just so I would laugh. I'm not sure how she ended up this way, but I am hands down a reflection of where I come from. I mean, you heard my stand-up. Maybe Rafi's music reflects who he is, too.
For all the parents out there, picture that it's bedtime. You and the kids have been busy all day. You know they're tired, but with all that anxious energy, they just won't go to sleep. This was my kids every night. But I did find that stories calmed their mind and gave them something to focus on. So 6 years ago, I created the kids' podcast, Bedtime History, to help solve that problem. Bedtime History is a series of relaxing history stories that end with an inspirational message. We have episodes about Jackie Robinson, Neil Armstrong, Maya Angelou, and Sacagawea. Episodes also include topics like space exploration, engineering, the rise and fall of civilizations, and major events like the Civil Rights Movement and the Transcontinental Railroad. With over 2,000 positive parent reviews, Bedtime History is one of the top education podcasts. This week, join me and listen to Bedtime History every Monday and Thursday on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was! And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My mom says, yes, I'm growing, but it's hard for me to see.
I think this is my favorite Raffi song. I wonder if I'm growing. It taps into a feeling from my childhood. My parents left for work early in the morning, so they dropped me off at my friend Leo Valoni's house long before school. The house was pitch dark and quiet, and I'd awkwardly hang out with Leo's mom in the kitchen until everyone woke up. I knew my parents were doing it so I could have a shot at a good education, but it made me feel insecure, like I didn't belong. There's something about listening to this song. There's a vulnerability in Raffi's voice,
it takes me right back to Leo Valoni's kitchen, sitting there, so unsure of myself. And by the end of the song, Raffi reassures us that everything is going to be okay. It doesn't sound like a kid's song to me. It speaks to me now.
And I think I must be growing. Oh, I know I'm really growing. My mom says, yes, I'm growing.
And it's true. We're all still growing. I mean, hopefully we are. And part of growing is making sense of where we've come from.
Would you say that you're singing to yourself? And is this a response to your own childhood?
That's an insightful question. Clearly, our past informs our present. And, you know, I think there's a measure of catharsis in my career that has benefited my whole being. And certainly in recognizing that I didn't feel respected and loved for who I felt I was. You know, it was a possessive love that my parents doled out, if you will. Again, they loved me greatly and I love them for that. But I certainly had to come to terms with the difficulty of being their child, you know. But every one of us actually is charged with making meaning of our life in our adulthood. And you're in that process yourself. You're actually in your comedic shows, as you say. You know, you're working through those emotions through humor, which is very interesting. Actually, you're kind of doing your therapy in public as a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, that's literally all I do, and a lot of what I'm working out deals with my sensitivity.
To me, there's no such thing as a sensitive child. We're all sensitive because we have needs. And it's interesting to consider that the human infant of every culture is the same human being physiologically. Every child in the world at that early stage has exactly the same needs, the universal, irreducible needs of early childhood are the best place to see how connected our human species is. The fact that we can see the interconnectedness of human experience most vividly in early years should make us jump from the rooftops and, well, at least shout from the rooftops, you know, wave flags and go, this is exciting. Here we are. Here's where we are one. We are one in the human infant. This is where we can see our oneness. Isn't that joyful? Isn't that something to celebrate? I believe it is.
I could see it in Sunny herself. Every morning I take her on a walk and I'm observing the world through her eyes, so curious and so joyful and so spirited. My job is to hopefully guide her to maintain this for all of her years, but I wish I could bottle it and share it with adults and kids alike.
What she's giving you is a vibration, a frequency, a light that you can't help but shine because you see its worth and you feel it.
Yeah? Are you excited? See those little birds? They're singing for you. Doing a little concert for you.
My daily walks with Sunny ground me and remind me that there's still a lot of wonder out there. Like Raffi said, our curiosities don't have to wither and die when we reach adulthood. So I'm trying to notice how I'm growing with these new experiences, with Sunny's new experiences.
Lots of dogs, huh? Yeah, you tell them.
It's so humbling to bring a child into the world, and at this tenuous point in history. She was born in the thick of the pandemic, and she doesn't know what's going on at all. She doesn't know that we had an insurrection or that the oceans are on fire. And I get to be her point of contact, her father. I mean, as my mom said about me, Sunny didn't ask to be here. It's my job to help her become a confident person capable of accepting love and giving love. At least that's what I want for her. No pressure, right?
Thank you.
next time on Finding Rafi.
If you were to meet Rafi, you wouldn't say, "Oh my God, grandson of survivors of a cataclysmic genocide who is scarred for life." Rafi's music is like the happiest music on the planet.
There were stories of survival, of my family's survival from the massacres of the Ottoman Empire, stories of how art saved the day.
Finding Rafi is a production of iHeartRadio and Fatherly in partnership with Rococo Punch. It's produced by Catherine Fenollosa, Meredith Honig, and James Trout. Production assistance from Charlotte Livingston. Alex French is our story consultant. Our senior producer is Andrea Aswahe. Emily Foreman is our editor. Fact-checking by Andrea Lopez Cruzado. Rafi's music is courtesy of Troubadour Records. Special thanks to Kim Layton at Troubadour. Our executive producers are Jessica Alpert and John Parati at Rococo Punch, Ty Trimble, Mike Rothman, and Jeff Eisenman at Fatherly, and me, Chris Garcia. Thank you for listening.
And then I would end the song with Willoughby Wallaby Waffy. An elephant sat on Rafi, and I go, whoa! And I pretend to slide in my chair and get squished. And they loved it. And I was smiling too.
For all the parents out there, picture that it's bedtime. You and the kids have been busy all day. You know they're tired, but for some reason, they just won't go to sleep. And for this reason, I created the podcast Bedtime History. Bedtime History is a series of relaxing history stories that end with an inspirational message. With over 2,000 positive parent reviews, Bedtime History is one of the top education podcasts. Join me and listen to Bedtime History every Monday and Thursday on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.